What's up, guys? Welcome into a very special schedule release edition of Chargers Weekly. And Muddy, we know who the opponents are, but when they play, it's almost more important, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, we've been talking about this for a while, right? That it's going to be a gnarly schedule. You know, the way it shook out for the AFC West this year, having to take on the NFC West with the 49ers, with the Rams, with the Cardinals, three playoff teams last year that you feel like are at least either plateaued or ascending. That's a tough pull. And then you get the AFC South with, you know, the Titans that had the best record in the AFC last year and the Colts that you feel a lot better about with Matt Ryan, the quarterback. So you knew it was going to be tough. And the way it lays out, I mean, I don't know if you just want to jump right into it. I mean, the fact that we got, you know, Raiders week one at home, SoFi Stadium, you know, you ended it in Las Vegas last year. Let's start it against the Raiders this year. You want to talk about a charged atmosphere, pardon the pun. What a way to get 2022 underway, considering how we left it with all that drama in Las Vegas. Of course, didn't break the Chargers' way, but man, it's pretty awesome. I mean, we can get into that game in particular, but just obviously I want you to weigh in on that as well, because I don't know if I'd rather have it any other way.
No, this is it's the perfect way to start the season. We talked about starting it where you ended it. It's not going to be in Vegas. It'll be in LA this time. But, you know, listen, we'll go game by game, 17 games, five primetime games. But I think none bigger than week one, Money. We know the storylines from last year. Add Khalil Mack playing his former team in his Chargers debut to the mix. Add Davante Adams versus J.C. Jackson. Add Josh McDaniels, John Carroll guy against another John Carroll guy and Staley who coached there. I mean, you talk about the intrigue last year. You add those pieces to it. Week one in L.A., they hate the Raiders. The Raiders hate the Chargers. No better way to start it.
Yeah, look, it'll be an electric atmosphere inside the stadium, no doubt. We know the Raider fans turn out, and we know from last year, you know, with the first year of having fans at SoFi, the Charger fans are going to turn out. It's going to be awesome in the stands. It's going to be incredible on the field. And just, you know, from a football standpoint, if you're asking me, yeah, I'd rather have the Raiders early. You know, it's a brand new coaching staff. It's a brand new system. It's Josh McDaniels, who's been incredible as a coordinator, but we know was embattled as a head coach. I'd rather get that early, you know, let the Davante Adams and Derek Carr getting used to one another in a game for the first time, you know, a new defensive system with Gus Bradley having moved on and Patrick Graham coming in. So like, to me, that's advantage. You know, you want those teams early when the Chargers have everything exactly the same. Now they have new players, but Khalil Mack's played with Brandon Staley, you know, before, you know, as his outside edge, you know, coach. And the rest of these guys, especially on offense, I mean, the offense is pretty much, you know, where we left it. There's a couple additions, but for the most part, bringing Mike Williams back, Herbert's got his top two targets and Mike and Keenan and top three in Austin. So, you know, that's a great way to start the season against a division opponent that is got some different things that they've got to get used to. And we know that tends to take a second, you know, to settle in. We think back to last year with Brandon Staley, right? Sort of just a weird, close, feeling it out game in Washington, even though the Chargers seemed to outclass him in terms of talent. And then you lose to the Cowboys. And then, okay, week three, now we're starting to feel good. Now we beat the Chiefs and you get a little bit of rhythm here.
Rashawn Slater versus Chandler Jones, too. I forgot about that little fun wrinkle, you know. But we mentioned Davante Adams and J.C. Jackson. J.C. Jackson, in his Chargers debut against Davante Adams, man, that's going to be must see. This is a 125 CBS game, so I imagine this has to be a Romo.
It's Nansen Romo, yeah. No question. That, and, you know, just you said we're going to go game by game, but, like, that also jumped out at me. They only have two Fox games. Like, it's crazy to me that that's all they have when you think about, you know, look,
it's right in the middle of the year.
And it's, and it's Falcon Seahawks. You know, they don't. So it's like, I don't think we're going to see Burkhart at all this year unless somehow there's a swap that's done. But just two Fox games. And, you know, it's because the Rams is Sunday Night Football and, you know, it'll be a lot of CBS. I think we're going to be seeing a lot of Iron Eagle and a lot of Jim Nantz on this schedule is kind of the way I look at it.
Absolutely. Maybe sprinkling some Harlan and that's
exactly what exactly. Kevin Harlan in there, too.
All right, week two, we knew about this one. Prime Video, Al Michaels, Kirk Herbstreit's debut, Chargers going to Kansas City. I mean, what more can you say about this? This is what jumps out to me, Money. Two division games back to back. And, you know, we know that, you know, you mentioned in the case of the Raiders, a new coach, it's going to take some time for them to get rolling a little bit. This is the second year of Brandon Staley. It's going to be so important for this team to get off to a good start, a hot start, especially with two straight divisional opponents, one being the Raiders, and then you go on the road against Patrick Mahomes and company.
Yeah, and look, and I think it holds here as well. You know, no Tyreek Hill. That offense is going to be different. You know, it's all new pass catchers, right? It's Marquez Valdes-Scantling. It's Juju Smith-Schuster. It's the drafting of Sky Moore. So it's going to be – that's going to be different for them. So I think it's good to get the Chiefs early. Now, look, you can say what you want about 2 years ago in Week 17, but the Chargers are 3-1 in their last four in Kansas City. They've played well there. They've won on Thursday night there. Think about that epic 2018, you know, 28-27, two-point conversion to Mike Williams.
Was that your favorite call? Was that your favorite call ever? Yeah,
that was. That was fun. Because, you know, it's either you win or you lose. How often do you get that in football? You know, one play that is very winnable, and that's the difference, from the two-yard line. You know, you get this, you will win the game. You don't get this. Now, little did I know that the Chiefs were going to be able to win a game with 13 seconds on the clock that they were trailing against the Buffalo Bills in the divisional round. I wouldn't have felt as good about that call, but in that moment, yeah, it was pretty great. I think that's a good, you know, and look, it's a home game. The week before. So when you're talking about a short week, you know, I know it doesn't happen often, but it does happen where teams will play back-to-back road games, and one of them is a Thursday night, and that is incredibly unfair logistically to a team that has to go back-to-back roadies on a Thursday. So they're home. You have an opportunity to really make a statement in the division in the first 2 weeks of the season. If you can knock off two of the three other squads in the division, start out 2-0, talk about a way to really set the tone for the rest of the season, that would be incredible. Do I think that's likely? I don't know. I mean, I think it favors the Chargers from a consistency standpoint, personnel wise, but it sure as hell ain't going to be easy.
No. And you know what, listen, you're going to have the whole nation watching the first 2 weeks, right? We imagine it's going to be Dance of Roma week one. It's the first Prime Video game on Thursday night. People are going to be tuned in for that one as well. And I'll say this to your point about these Thursday night games, at least it's week one to week two, right? You don't have a ton of tread on you now at this point. You're still relatively fresh going from Vegas playing the Raiders to the Chiefs in week two. So I think that's a positive. We get into the rest of this first half of the schedule. Home against Jacksonville, Doug Peterson and company, Trevor Lawrence, we'll see. And then back-to-back road games, Texans, Browns. Start with Jacksonville. I don't think Jacksonville's a pushover by any stretch, but this is a game the Chargers need to take care of.
No doubt. You know, and look, it's depending on how those first two go, it's kind of nice to see the next two against teams that you would say are in that process of beginning to ascend. You know, they're tearing it down, and now they're trying to rebuild it. A lot of young players, especially on the Texans. But when you talk about the Jags, yeah, I like their roster. You know, I think, you know, we don't know. It's a huge, huge swing. We already talked about the draft, but, you know, Trevon Walker over Aiden Hutchinson, I think that benefits the Chargers to have him out there early as he's trying to settle in, whereas Hutchinson is more of a plug and play, you know what you're going to get type of player. But, you know, those are going to be two nasty. So look at that. You got back to back to back. Just go through those 3 weeks for our offensive line, for the Chargers offensive line. You know, you got to deal with, obviously, Chandler Jones and Max Crosby, and we know what Max Crosby did the last time we saw him against the Raiders. That wasn't great. Then you go to the Chiefs, and you get we already talked about how much I like Karlaftis. You know, you got him and Frank Clark and Chris Jones on that defensive line. And now for the Jags, you know, they draft Trevon Walker, and we know Josh Allen is exceptional. He's just not talked about because he's in Jacksonville. So you got three really good edge rushing tandems, or, you know, in the case of the Chiefs, because so much of their pass rush comes from the center of that line and Chris Jones, you know, we're going to get a look at Zion Johnson and how the right side of that line, however it's configured, is going to be holding up. We know the left side is going to be fine based on what we saw last year, but the right side, you know, the Jags kind of fall into that conversation as well as a challenge for that position group.
In week four, listen, you and I remember December 26 last year in Houston. I mean, this is an opportunity to get back at the Texans and Davis Mills and company. And then we go to Cleveland week five, October 9th. You know, we were just talking about this. I don't know if Deshaun Watson is going to be under center. That may be a Jacoby Brissett game.
Yeah, I'd be really surprised if he were. I can't project what the what the NFL is going to do in terms of suspension for Deshaun. But, you know, I talked about this on the radio show with Petros. I just said, you know, when you set the tone like Major League Baseball did and suspend Trevor Bauer for 2 years, you know, after that case was dropped by, or was, you know, they chose not to pursue it by the DA, and yet Major League Baseball booted him for 2 years based on their independent investigation, you know, knowing what we know, I'd be really surprised if Deshaun Watson were there. Now, look, if he is, it's a much better team offensively than if he's not. But look, the Browns still have issues at receiver. You know, they have not replaced Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham. We know they have a – and that's the thing, Chris, like Deshaun Watson or Jacoby Brissett or Baker Mayfield. He's still on the roster. I don't think he's going to be there. But, you know, they're just going to run it at you. And it's going to be – and, you know, we're going to get a real good look. And look, with the Raiders as well, they drafted Zamir White. I like him a lot out of Georgia. So we're going to get a real good look pretty darn early as to, you know, how is this rebuilt interior of the line? You know, but that's the one game where I think we'll really see, hey, we know what they want to do. They know that you know what they want to do, but they're still going to hand it to Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb, you know, 30, 35 times a game. Can you stop it? So that's going to be a nice little bit of inventory for the Chargers to see how, you know, Austin Johnson and Sebastian Joseph Day and Fajoko and this rotation, Gaziano in this rotation of linemen, you know, and if Abonya, if Tito's in there, you know, working his way through that. Forrest Merrill, I can go through the whole name salad, but that's what I see there, to be honest, Chris. I see back-to-back road games that are still manageable. Houston's not that long of a flight. And I'm not saying this for like our own benefit because we have to travel. It's been proven. Warren Sharp does a bang up job of pointing out teams that have to travel X number of miles on back-to-back weeks, the type of disadvantage that they're at when they have to play an early window, because both of those are early window contests. Yeah, so those are both 10 a.m. starts. Thankfully, you know, the Texans game isn't like a Sunday night or a Monday night. There's a big drop off when you have to play a Monday night into an early window game. So the fact that both of those are early windows, and it's not a really long trip to Houston, it's about 2.5, you know, 3 back. That's not too bad.
No, not at all. And then you go from Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt to Week 6, Monday Night Football against the Broncos, Javonte Williams, Melvin Gordon. But the headliner is going to be Russell Wilson, Justin Herbert, Joe Buck, Troy Aikman calling that game at SoFi Stadium money.
Yeah, and again, I don't want to bore the people listening with so much logistics talk, but love that that's on a Monday night because you're coming off of Myles Garrett, who we know was an absolute wrecking machine against Rashawn Slater, and you get Rashawn the extra day before he's got to deal with either Randy Gregory or Bradley Chubb. So I love that you get that extra day in there for Slater to just get a little bit more recovery time, knowing that those are two of the best pass rushers he's going to see all season long. So that to me is a benefit, having that on a Monday night, getting that extra day. And also, you know, for the defense, because we know Russell Wilson, as talented as he is, as incredible of a quarterback as he is, he's always been a run-heavy offense quarterback. And we know what Javonte Williams, the lumber that he brings. They just re-signed Melvin Gordon. We know he's a big back that can really put it on you. So nice, again, just for that defensive front to get back-to-back games with an extra day of rest against very similar teams, I think, in the way they want to play.
Do you like the fact that 3 AFC West games are in the first 6 weeks?
It's interesting the way it shakes out, because remember last year they were all at the back end of the season. You know, this year they're all at the front. So, it's interesting. The 1 and 2 is interesting. I think it's very odd that the NFL chose to do that, especially with one of them on a Thursday, to have the Raiders and Chiefs so early in the season. You know, you're going to have to play those 6 games regardless at some point. So the fact that you can kind of take some inventory and maybe see, you know, what's the rest of our season look like, knowing what we've done in division so far against each of our opponents, you know, where are we at? I do think there's something to be said about that. And look, I guess this is the best way to put it, is I'm kind of meandering for an answer here, and I'm waiting for it to come to me. And I think it just came to me. if you tell me we get to play those 3 teams every roster is at full strength because it's early in the season and they're healthy, I'll sign up for that.
Yeah,
I'll take the Chargers roster against any of those and feel pretty good about it. So Yeah. You know what? I am good with having those early because it means you're more likely to be 100% healthy. And I'd rather have all those teams be healthy, taking one another on with the Chargers roster.
Yeah. The reason I asked that is I'll never forget. And you probably see this too all the time. Like at the beginning of seasons, Kevin Harlan says that he doesn't really pay much attention until mid-October because of penalties and because people are figuring each other out. And I say that because the Broncos game is October 17th. By that point, you play three division games. But I agree with what you're saying. Listen, the Raiders are going through a new transition here with a new coach. The Broncos have a new quarterback. The Chiefs'
new coach
isn't going to look the same. New coach there too. The Chargers seem to be the most equipped early in the year to try to carry over what they did last year. And, you know, I say go for it, right? First 6 weeks of the year.
Yeah. I, you know, like I said, you got no Tyreek Hill in Kansas City, new coach, new coordinators in Vegas, new coach, new coordinators, new quarterback in Denver. Now by week six, they should be settled in. You'd think by then they're feeling pretty comfortable and they kind of know what works, what doesn't, and they've adjusted. But at the same time, you know, like I said, just hopefully Chargers roster's healthy. And if that's the case, I feel good about them going into any game on their schedule.
Week seven, home Seattle Seahawks, the Uchenna Nwosu Bowl, maybe, I guess.
There you go. Right?
Drew Locke or Geno Smith under center at this point as we tape this?
Yeah, I'm still waiting for that. I feel like that's going to be Baker Mayfield. I really do. I just don't know how you choose to have Drew Locke or Geno over Baker.
They seem to love Drew Locke unless they're, you know.
Hey, good for the Chargers. We've seen enough Drew Locke to say, great, we'll take it. I feel like that's going to be Baker just because he, you know, he comes from this run heavy play action offense, you know, Stefanski that they were running in Cleveland. It just seems to make too much sense. And we know Pete has always, you know, before he found Russell Wilson, just think about all the swings he took at quarterbacks, just constantly Whitehurst, you know, Matt Flynn, Tavares Jackson. He was always bringing dudes in, you know, and I just don't know how he goes into a season saying, yeah, we feel good about Drew Locke or Geno Smith being the starter, and neither are making that much money. But, you know, look, it's Pete Carroll's return to Los Angeles. That'll be a big deal. He does come here every single year to play the Rams, so it's not like it's something super special. But, you know, his Seahawks defense always plays pretty darn well. It is a team, though, that obviously has lost just about every player of note that went through that dominant decade of the Legion of Boom. So, you know, nice to have that maybe after the Broncos contest.
Bye week eight. You like that right in the middle of the season?
Perfect, yeah. Right? I mean, could you ask for anything better? Yeah, I guess If you want to nitpick, yeah, week nine would be perfect because it would be exactly in the middle, but we'll take week eight. And it's nice considering what we're about to get into and what the back end of that looks like to have that bye and try to get rested up for what is a pretty gnarly gauntlet starting in week 10.
Yeah, that gauntlet, four of the next five games coming out of the bye on the road, and the one home game that's sandwiched right in the middle is the Chiefs in week 11. But let's just start going from west to east at Atlanta, November 6th, Bunny. This is the second Fox game. This is a game coming right out of the bye that hopefully you could start the second half of the season on a solid note against the Falcons.
Yeah, look, you never know. You know, teams can surprise you, but it certainly appears as though the Falcons are in a full teardown rebuild. They're just collecting talent. The fact they didn't take the quarterback kind of tells you everything they were just looking for. They took, obviously, Desmond Ridder. And who knows? Maybe that's...
He may be the starter.
And maybe he'll be the starter, you know, over Marcus Mariota. But, you know, this is a team that's just... It's just trying to piece it back together. You know, they had a lot of bad contracts. They tried to run it. You know, thought maybe they had one more shot at it with Matt Ryan and the way they drafted Kyle Pitts last year. Now, look, that's going to be a challenge trying to account for Kyle Pitts and Drake London and how big those guys are. But at the same time, I don't want to disrespect the Falcons. We know the Texans got the Chargers last year and anyone can get got, as they like to say. So just in terms of the way it looks on paper, great. You know, you come out of the bye, it's a long road trip and it's your longest road trip of the year. And you know, it's against a team that looks to be kind of have their eyes set on 2023, 2024.
Yeah. Can't be sleeping coming out of the bye against the Falcons. That's the one thing.
No, that's a great point. Yeah, make sure you're ready to go. Every team can, like we said, any team can win any given Sunday in this National Football League, as they like to say.
This next one has some juice at San Francisco, Sunday Night Football, first NBC game. A lot of fun storylines in this one. The Bosa brothers. We got Anthony Lynn on the sidelines, the assistant head coach of the 49ers. Trey Lance, probably the starter, although we don't know if Jimmy G will still be there at that point. And this is a short flight for the Chargers, Bunny. And it should be a lot of fun against an NFC opponent.
Yeah, and again, you know, it's back-to-back roadies. And this one's even a little, you get the break of, it's a little bit later. You know, it's a Sunday Night Football game instead of an early window game. So you get a long flight home from Atlanta. You know, you probably get home midnight, 1 a.m., right around there at 2 a.m. And you get a 49ers, you know, that's a 50-minute flight. And it's going to be a street fight. You know, we know what the 49ers defense looks like. We watched them all last year. They needed all of 13 points to beat the Packers in the divisional round. You know, that's how good that defense is against that freaking offense with the MVP of the league. And they're able to shut it down to the tune of yeah, we scored 13 points and we beat the Packers in Lambeau. I think that pretty much says it all. You know, Bosa. Yeah, you could call it that. It's Armstead and Bosa. You know, maybe it'll be an old friend alert. They re-signed Jason Verrett. They're trying to make that happen every single year, you know, and every year he keeps getting hurt. But it's a tough one. It's Kyle Shanahan's, you know, one of the best play callers in the league. His offense has put an incredible amount of pressure on you. And we just know how talented, you know, that D'Amico Ryan's defense is. You know, they did not miss a beat after Robert Saleh left for New York.
We should note Sunday night games between weeks 5 and 15 could be flexed. This is a, you know, potential game that could be flexed, although I don't see.
I'd be very surprised. Yeah, I mean, look, things team
being in a flex position at that point.
Things would have to go horribly wrong because I would assume even if the 49ers are sitting at, you know, 5 and 4, or 4 and 5 or whatever, just the idea of having Justin Herbert on Sunday Night Football would have some appeal.
Absolutely. All right. The next one is the Chiefs. This will most likely be another Nance Romo game, 125 CBS. And listen, you circle it every year, Money, right? November 20th. This is right in the middle of the year. I think we'll have a pretty good idea of what the AFC West looks like at that point. If it's all jumbled up, if one team gets the injury bug and maybe is a little bit behind, but I expect both the Chargers and Chiefs to be humming on all cylinders November 20th.
Yeah. And again, you know, you look at the opponent before and it's going to be a street fight. So it's going to be, and that's going to be technically a short week because it's a Sunday Night Football game going into that game on Sunday. And, you know, you would expect when you're an offense out there and you're taking hits or you're an offensive line and you're trying to block Bosa and Armstead, or you're getting tackled by Fred Warner and that giant brick house of a body that he's got, like it's going to take a minute to feel better, feel like you're ready to go again. So unfortunately, you know, not the shortest of weeks, but a sort of short week coming off Sunday Night Football when you got to take on the Chiefs at home. I mean, that's the only thing that jumps out at me there. We already discussed the Chiefs. They'll have their rhythm by then, certainly, and figure out how those new pass catchers fit in the absence of Tyreek Hill by then.
This is a tough back half of the schedule, man. We'll go to at Arizona, at Las Vegas. The good news, like you said, logistic wise, it's quick trips. Both things are real quick trips, but Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins, Hollywood Brown, that offense is going to be a handful on November 27th.
Yeah. Look, they won 10 straight games last year. You know, I know it fell apart for them in the playoffs. They had to deal with some injuries. You know, they haven't replaced Chandler Jones. I don't quite know. I'm gonna pull up their depth chart right now just to see if I'm forgetting anyone here in this second wave of free agency. But yeah, I mean, they're, you know, does JJ Watt still have it? You know, he certainly had moments last year, but he's starting to show, you know, his age after 11 years in the league. So, you know, defensively, I think they've lost a lot in just terms of the fact that Chandler Jones is gone and the amount of pressure he puts on from one of those edge spots. With that gone, you feel a lot better about taking on that defense. Offensively, Kyler Murray just puts an incredible amount of pressure on a defense. There's no two ways about it. They brought back James Conner. He fit in perfectly with that offense. They brought back Zach Ertz. I still think they've got a lot of questions in their pass catchers. You know, I don't know if Hollywood Brown's a one. You know, he doesn't jump out as a one to me. He seems like a really good two. So when you're talking about, you know, Rondale Moore, Marquise Brown, Hollywood Brown, and AJ Green, I think that's, you know, you're feeling all right about that. You got to worry about the middle of the field, but that goes into what we talked about with the drafting of JT Woods, right? Like, this is a great Derwin James game. It's like, if you're playing JT and Nas up high, you can just say, all right, if Zach Ertz is your number one, guess who he's going to have to contend with all game. He ain't getting free because Derwin's going to be glued to him, and you're going to have to figure out how to make hay on the outside. And that's when you feel really good about, you know, JC Jackson taking on a smaller guy like Marquise Brown.
Yeah. Is Hopkins is 6-game suspension?
This six.
Upcoming? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So December 4th is the Raiders money. And just December 5th, five opponents in the AFC West will have been played. So I think the Chargers will have a very good idea where they stand in the division, if they can win the division, depending on what happens in those first five games. Then you have a whole month to go before playoffs begin.
Yeah, still five more games after that. And again, look, it's four, you said it, it's four road trips in 5 weeks, but three of those four road trips are less than an hour away on the airplane.
Yep.
You know, it's Las Vegas, it's Phoenix, and it's San Francisco, and it's San Jose. So yes, that's for other teams. And I cannot say this enough. There's not a lot of sizzle to it, but logistically, this schedule has done the Chargers a lot of favors. It works for them logistically to be playing this level of opponent, you know, and I know we'll get into them individually, but from week 10 on, 49ers NFC championship game, Chiefs AFC championship game, Arizona had the best record in football through 12 weeks. Raiders made the playoffs. Miami was the same record as the Chargers at 9-8. Tennessee had the best record in the AFC. The Colts, we feel like at 9-8 last year with Matt Ryan at quarterback, are going to be in the playoff conversation. Super Bowl champion Rams, and then the Broncos to close it out. Like, that is a freaking gauntlet. So to not have logistical nightmares on top of it helps the team a lot. It's very manageable, I think, is the best way to put it.
As we talk out the second half of the schedule, man, it makes the first half so freaking important. like those first two games against the Raiders and Chiefs, man, you got to get to 2-0. Find a way to get to 2-0. Even if you're 1-1, Jacksonville, Houston, Cleveland, potentially without Watson, Denver at home on Monday night, in the Seattle Seahawks. You got to sweep that, man.
Yeah,
you
get really some equity. Get some win equity in there. No doubt. You know, get some win equity and feel a lot better about getting into that. Now, remember, you know, when you get into the back end of the season, things can change considerably. Think about Arizona. We just mentioned, what did they start last year? 10-0, I think.
Yeah.
And then Nuke goes down and Chandler Jones is dealing with some issues. Their offensive line gets banged up and they limp into the postseason. So things can change on the back end of the season. Is Tennessee screaming for Malik Willis at that point? Has Ryan Tannehill not played as well? They've got no A.J. Brown. You know, is Derrick Henry going to start showing wear, you know, by that time of the season? So things can certainly change when you get to the back half of a schedule. And that goes for the Chargers as well. But, yeah, I mean, as it stands today on May 12th, it's a pretty hairy, you know, weeks 10 through 18.
Yeah. You bring up a good point. We're doing this in May. You don't know what's happening with injuries. Every team's different from year to year, but just on paper, because this is all we got right now. That back half is tough. And we go from back-to-back road trips, Arizona, Vegas, to three straight AFC opponents that are probably all playoff contenders. Miami, December 11th at home. Tennessee, December 18th at home. And then we'll get into at Indy Monday night. But let's just start with the Dolphins. A new-look Dolphins team. Tyreek Hill, you can't avoid him. You'll see him in Miami with Jalen Waddle on the other side. A pretty good running game and a new coach from that Kyle Shanahan tree.
Yeah, look, that to me, of all the games right there at the back end, that's the one I circle as a flex alert possibility. You know, if the Dolphins are playing well and the Chargers are playing well, then that's one where I could see getting flexed. You know, that can end up being a Sunday night football game. I just think it's that big. You know, the fact that Miami has been taking so much incoming for passing on Herbert to take Tua, they feel like this is the year with this coach and, you know, signing Teron Armstead, getting, you know, those tackles settle, Eichenberg in his second season, and getting that kind of right at the offensive line, you're going to see the Tua that we thought we were going to get. And if that's the case, you know, if Mike McDaniels is as brilliant of a play caller as he's billed to be, the next Kyle Shanahan, then that's going to be a serious sizzle matchup. We know the defense has been really good. Now, will it fall off with the departure of Brian Flores? Maybe. I wouldn't be surprised if it did a little bit. But that's one I circle and say that could be, of all the ones that I'm looking at in the back end of the season, that, because CBS ain't going to let go of the Chiefs game. They already let go of the one to Amazon on Thursday night, so that's not happening. The Raiders, I guess technically that could be one that could get flexed. That wouldn't surprise me. So those are your two. Those two back-to-back weeks could end up being your Sunday night football games.
Yeah, and then December 18th, the Titans in a loaded AFC. I think everybody forgets they were the number one seed just because maybe they're not as sexy as some of these other teams. But you're right, though. You know, Derrick Henry in mid-December, no A.J. Brown, Treylon Burks in the mix now. And is Ryan Tannehill going to be able to keep them afloat? They have a pretty good defense. It's just another game where if we talk about the AFC West and you've played five division opponents already, if you're in the wild card hunt, you may be competing with teams like the Dolphins and the Titans.
Yeah. And look, the one thing about the Titans, that defense is good. You know, that whatever the offense may be, you know, can Treylon Burks
Jeffrey
replace
Simmons' first game was against
the Chargers. How can I forget it? I mean, it was basically the end of the season. You know, it was a chance for the Chargers to say, okay, let's shake off these early issues. And, you know, it was the fumble at the goal line from Melvin Gordon, like three different times, to lose that game. But yeah, I mean, you're talking about Simmons, Harold Landry, and Bud Dupree, who I thought did okay last year, started to come on late, but look at the back end, you know, with Christian Fulton and I'm anxious to see if Caleb Farley overcomes that back injury that limited him last year. Cause man, he was an incredible cornerback at Vatek before that back injury. And Kevin Byard out there had said, look, that's a good defense. And that you would expect to be a pretty tight, nasty, you know, street fight again. I'll say that word again, style of game that you would expect from like a San Francisco and a Tennessee and just the way they want to play.
Week 16, December 26th, Wednesday Night Football in Indianapolis. Get your St. Elmo's resi in for Christmas night money, right?
Yeah, I'll take a pass on St. Elmo's for Christmas evening. But look, I'm stoked. I'm happy for the guys and for the coaches that they get a Monday Night Football game. You know, instead of having the Colts on Christmas Day when you're flying out on Christmas Eve and spending Christmas Eve and waking up Christmas morning in Indianapolis without your family, or you got to fly your family out and have Christmas in the hotel when you've got a 10 a.m. game, you know, Pacific time. Like, that's a big break for the Chargers to pull the Colts when they're playing all their games on Christmas Eve, three games on Christmas Day, and one on the day after Christmas. You know, we just did it last year. We left at like noon to go to Houston on Christmas Day. So, and everybody, now look, did it work out on the field? No, but that was, you know, that was the COVID game for both teams. You know, half of the roster was gone with COVID for that game. Mike Davis got pulled. Wasn't it Mike Davis that got pulled off the field?
Yeah.
You know, right before kick, was told he couldn't play. So like, it was just, that was the COVID game more than the Christmas game. I think that's, you know, that's settling, I think, for the players, that you get to spend Christmas Eve, wake up with your family. If you got little ones, like so many of them do, they're opening gifts and stuff. And then you can make your way to the facility and get on out to Indianapolis, because it's a Monday Night Football game. So you're not going to have to leave until probably 1 or 2 o'clock Pacific time to get there, you know, in your window of 18 hours. So I think the Colts are going to be a really good team this year. I look at that team and I think, you know, like you said, if the things don't go well in the division, Chris, and you're talking about fighting for wild card spots, this is a big one. They traded for Ngakoue. They already have one of the best defensive tackles in DeForest Buckner. And I love Kwity Paye, and I think he's going to be great in his second season. Next level, Darius Leonard, tackling machine, one of the best linebackers in football. Next level, they bring in Stephon Gilmore. So defensively,
Gus
is coordinating, you know, so that's hey, look, where Gus goes, Yannick Ngakoue goes. It should have been a no-brainer once I mentioned that. So look, that's going to be a tough game, and it's going to be one where, you know, you hope you're not eating too much Christmas ham, you know, and you're able to work it through your system. all the pierogies or the yams or the ham or the or whatever it is that you choose to, because tamales on Christmas, I hope they've made their way through you, because that's going to be a tough one. And offensively, you know, I love, you know, John, how do you not like Jonathan Taylor, you know, in the interior of that line, opening up giant holes for him to run through.
Money, if the division, let's say it does go well, right? It's right. Just as important, like, because I mean, these are AFC games, and if it comes down to week 18 and like the Chiefs are 4-2 in the division and you're 4-2 in the division, if you beat Miami, Tennessee, and Indianapolis, that may decide what's happening in terms of right. home field advantage in the division too. So for if it goes not well, or if it does go well, this is almost like the second playoff season here in December against these AFC opponents that are all going to be competing for a wild card spot.
That's a great point. Yeah. Right there in that stretch, Miami, Tennessee, Colts outside your division, but you know, your first tiebreaker, head to head, second tiebreaker, division record, third tiebreaker, conference record, fourth tiebreaker, common opponents. So, you know, there you go. It's that's a great point. Those are three, even though they're not in division, incredibly important games because they count toward that particular tiebreaker that comes into play and came into play last year. So, you know, and that's why, you know, the Pittsburgh ended up getting in. So
this next one is not a division game. It's not a conference game, but it may have the bigness of any game on the 17 game schedule. It's the Rams and Chargers on Sunday Night Football on New Year's Day. It's a Chargers home game on NBC money against the Super Bowl champs. I think that this has a little bit of extra juice. Brandon Staley, Sean McVay, Rams, Chargers. I mean, this is a great way to kick off 2023.
Yeah, look, I know maybe it's, I don't know if you would call it petty or what, but yeah, it's the biggest game on the schedule to me. It really is. I mean, I get the Chiefs and you want to win your division, and the players won't say that, and that's fine. They're the players. You know, they can say the Chiefs games and the Raiders games and the Broncos games are all equally the biggest games on their schedule. Every year, but to me, this is the one. You both play in the same stadium. The Rams just won the Super Bowl last year. The Chargers are trying to climb that mountain in Los Angeles as well. We know it's all about winning in this city. And, you know, I don't think anyone would argue that the Chargers have the more exciting team with the way they play, specifically on offense, that they've got more sizzle by having Justin Herbert. And Derwin James, you know, if you want to play the Aaron Donald card, I'll put, you know, Aaron Donald's the best player in football. I'm not going to argue that. But in terms of who do I want to watch play defense, I like watching Derwin James and Joey Bosa play defense just as much as I like watching Aaron Donald. So, you know, it's a huge game, and it's beyond the field. It's a game that is beyond the field. This is how, you know, this is our roster, and I'm speaking for the Chargers, I guess, which they probably don't want me to do. So I'll just say, this is the Chargers roster. This is what it looks like when Justin Herbert takes the field. This is the style of football that Brandon Staley coaches, and you can compare and contrast with what's going on the other sideline. And for someone calling the game, it's very exciting.
Oh, I bet.
And I'm very excited, selfishly, that I will be sitting and DJ will be sitting in the booth where we call home games, and JB and Maurice Jones-Drew are going to have to move their asses down about 200 feet to do the game in SoFi Stadium from the visitor's booth. I will not be able to get enough of that. I will be wildly excited by that being the case on Sunday night.
The whole world's watching too. Yeah. I think that's what gives us another layer. Is it, this is an NBC game, and you know, you've covered sports in this city for so long. If the Chargers can put together an awesome season, and then in week 17, take care of the Rams en route to the playoffs, I mean, this takes you another jump here in the city. And with Justin Herbert as your quarterback, I think the sky's the limit.
100%. And look, I think the big part of that is, and I say it's that big of a game because the Rams just won the Super Bowl. You know, if the Rams didn't just win the Super Bowl, I don't necessarily feel the same way about it. You know, I say, yeah, it's a big deal. It's head-to-head. It's, you know, you're both in your infancy here in Los Angeles in terms of big picture, and there are still a lot of fans' hearts and heads to be won over, and you're fighting for that. Hey, we want to be the team of Los Angeles, but the Rams just won the Super Bowl, you know, and you can't take that away from them. So what you can do, though, is knock them off at the back end of the season. We know how hard it is to repeat. And we also know, because I, like you said, I've been doing this a long time. I'm an old man. But I remember
saying you were old.
Yeah, you said it. It's okay. You said it.
Very wise.
I think about the Ben Howland UCLA teams, you know, they went to back to back to back Final Fours and there just wasn't a lot of juice there because of the style that they played. Now, when you look at the names that were on those teams, it should have been, you know, I mean, with Russell Westbrook and Zach LaVine and Kevin Love and or not Zach LaVine, but Kevin Love and Russell Westbrook and those guys out there, Aaron Aflalo, like they should have had sizzle, but they just didn't because of the style of play. So to have the Chargers play football in the manner they do, with the players that populate this roster currently, that's an exciting game. And I think it could go a long way. Every single week I would show up at SoFi Stadium. I was treated to, you know, a wildly entertaining product every single week, the Steelers game, the Browns game, the Raiders game, the Chiefs game, like, you know, and then when we went on the road, it was the same, you know, the Raiders game to end the season, the Chiefs game in Kansas City. Like it's just the Bengals game.
Yeah.
Like they're just a fun team to watch. And I'm excited that you're going to be able to do it. And the Chargers, they're going to be wearing their powder blues and the Rams are going to be forced to wear those stupid bone uniforms that look like they threw their whites in the washing machine with a brown t-shirt. So that's going to make me happy too.
Rose Bowl, January 2nd, January 1st, Rams Chargers. All right.
I don't know who makes that decision. Is that a John Spanos decision? Who comes up with the uniform schedule? Whoever comes up with the uniform schedule, I want powder blue with gold pants. So the Rams have to wear bone. That's of paramount importance in that contest.
If you take anything from this podcast, cut it at like the 47-minute mark.
There you go. Stupid bone.
Week 18 at Broncos. Who knows, man? Who knows?
Well, here's what I know.
Be a flex game. Who knows what's going to be needed to get into the playoffs? Could be Russell Wilson, Justin Herbert in prime time. Could mean absolutely nothing. I hope it means nothing for the Chargers' sake.
What I do know is our trip to Denver is going to be tested because year in and year out, we get unseasonably warm games in Denver. It is crazy. We show up there, it's November, and it's 60 degrees. We go there, and it's end of October, and it's 75 degrees. Like, how have we continued to dodge the 8 inches of snow and the 10 degree temperatures of Denver? So January, 7th or 8th?
7th or 8th.
Yeah, that's going to be tested. It is certainly going to be tested of clear skies, 40 to 60 degrees at kick, because that's what we've had for the last 5 years. So we'll see what week 18 has in store for us.
All right. I want to end the pod on this. If I gave you a pair of tickets for 3 home games this year, rank them, go 3-1 or 1-3, whatever.
Oh, 3. All right. So let me see. Let me go through this. Okay. Well, I already said the Rams, you know, how important I think that game is, but like, look, for entertainment purposes, I'll go number one. Give me the home opener, you know, give me Raiders. That'd be the one I'd take first. Just cause you know, there's something special about the first week of the season. It's the Raiders. So yeah, I'll take Raiders one. And then I will take, then I'll take the Rams two, and I'll take the Chiefs 3, you know, otherwise, like, you know, I look at the Jags, the Seahawks, you got Miami in there. I wouldn't mind seeing the Tua versus Herbert Bowl. That could be fun actually. And I do get to see the Chiefs every year. So yeah, you know what? I will spurn the Chiefs for the Miami game, because I'll have already selfishly seen them. And yeah, so let's go. Raiders would be my number one, Rams my number two. And let me get out there, see that teal of Miami and the Tua Herbert Bowl.
All right, I had mine written down already. I have Raiders one, week one. I have Broncos two, because it's Monday night. Russell Wilson.
True. Primetime game. Those are always fun. Yeah, you know what? I'm going back to the Rams because it's Sunday Night Football. Yeah. There's something about primetime that's a lot more fun.
Yeah, and then three, I had the Rams week 17. And
there you go.
I don't know. Just talking about it makes me kind of want to move it up a little bit more, but we'll keep it with those three. Rams, Broncos.
Good home schedule. Raiders,
Broncos, Rams.
You know, good home schedule. Obviously, the AFC West is a gauntlet. You got those three games, and then you got the Rams, the Dolphins, the Titans that were the best record in the AFC last year.
We both didn't have the Chiefs in the home schedule. That's how good the home schedule is.
Yeah, and that's stupid. Why'd you have to make it three? You should have just made it one. Like one or
sad. I want to make it three. I want to make it interesting. All right, yeah. I'm going to ask you the same question for the away games. Pair of tickets, three games, on the road with your buddies. What are you picking?
Okay, at Chiefs for sure. Love Arrowhead. Love that stadium. Love that atmosphere.
That's number one game's for me, too.
That's number one. Number two, no Texans, no Browns. No Falcons at 49. But I hate that stadium. The stadium is such a piece of junk. It's just not a great place the way they designed it, but it's close. Arizona. Okay. So one at Chiefs, two at Raiders, three. How about this? At Broncos. I'm doing the three AFC West games.
You're just hoping for 60 degrees January 7th.
I think it's going to be something. I am banking on it being something. And those are three awesome atmospheres. Like they are just, you know, it was electric inside Allegiant last year in week 18. I think it's the best tailgate in all of football at Arrowhead. I don't think anything's close. Maybe the Packers. But the Chiefs tailgate is spectacular. And hey, Charger fans, if you're going out there, you know what? I'm not going to say it yet. I'm going to wait because I don't know. Tickets don't go on sale yet, and I'm not going to let somebody steal it from me. So I'm going to wait to share that little nugget.
Good tease.
Arrowhead is Arrowhead's awesome, and obviously Mile High's great. It's so fun to be at a Bronco game. You know, incomplete when they scream that on third down, the whole place shakes. It's a really fun place to see a game.
I got Chiefs one. I got 49ers too, just because of the storylines, and it's Sunday Night Football. And I know it's not in San Francisco, but you make a weekend of it.
Sure.
And your weekend in Santa Clara. And then the Raiders, I'm with you, man. Like I thought that atmosphere was awesome. I didn't know what to expect at Allegiant, but like their house band, it was like, it's the perfect Vegas.
It's great.
Venue, it's Vegas. Right? It's awesome. Yeah,
it's Vegas. It's great. See, now I'm looking at it and I'm like, you know, maybe San Francisco, cause it's prime time, but no. Levi Stadium is one of my least favorite stadiums in all the NFL.
I don't know why they should be the Santa Clara 49ers, right? They're not even close to San Francisco.
I just mean the way they built the stadium. It's just seats everywhere. Like it is way too big. It's way too spread out. It never gets that loud. There's something weird about it. It's not, you know, and for me, like that's part of it. I'm the kind of person that when I get to a stadium, I want to walk around. I want to check it out. I'm walking through the concourse. I'm checking out whatever their Monument Park kind of thing is. And Levi's just has none of that. And their fans are jerks. So there's that too.
It's, you know what, it's easy for Chargers fans to get to. You probably get a decent seat there. The Colts were my honorable mention. Like, I don't know. I got a soft spot for Indy, but it is December 26th.
You got to travel on Christmas. Like selfishly for me, I'm going to probably fly home and spend Christmas with, you know, our family, with my parents, and then drive down. But that was the only reason I left the Colts off. It's like, you know, if you got to travel there, well, now you're traveling on because you're losing time. So you're traveling on Christmas Day. Now they do have a red eye. So I guess technically if you want, you celebrate Christmas, you have a great time. You take the red eye to Indy. Spend all day in Indy hanging out and then go to the Monday Night Football game. It's not a bad deal.
We're giving you options. We talked a lot of logistics.
A lot of logistics. This was a logistics podcast more than anything. You're welcome, everybody. God.
It's fun though, brother. I mean, listen, it's May 12th and we now know how to plan out our fall a little bit better, circle some dates. And if you're a fan, this is, like I said, this is a perfect time to start planning those trips to Kansas City, to Vegas, to San Francisco, to Indy, whatever.
Yeah. Get after it. It's fun to go on the road. For the most part, fans, believe it or not, are pretty polite and cool when you're on the road. The drunken fights that you see are the outliers. They're not the norm. You know, when I've been walking around the parking lot and I got to wear Chargers gear to call the games, everybody's usually been super cool at all these places. So I can't encourage you to go enough. It's a lot of fun. And hey, let's get you in there on week one, huh? On Charger fans, let's pack that place on week one against the Raiders. Let's get that thing going.
The revenge factor, man, the stewing for an entire offseason just to play them on week one and
get out of the
Khalil
way.
Mack get after his former team.
Absolutely.
Talk about all that stuff, dude. I can't wait. We'll be back next week. We'll probably talk a little bit more rookie mini camp and OTAs, but this was fun, bud.
Oh yeah, enjoyed it. Got to talk about flights and hotels and parking lots. It was great.
It's all about logistics.
Absolutely.
All right, guys. For Money, I'm Chris. This has been Chargers Weekly.